This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball, a weekly sports podcast. This week we are here to preview all the exciting fixtures from Game Week 11 of the English Premier League. And to do this, I have with me my colleague Prakar Sajdeo joining me on the show. Hi and welcome back on the show, Prakar.
Hi Dustin, great to be back on the pod.
Well, it was an exciting week of football last time out, and this time we begin with Aston Villa welcoming table toppers Liverpool. Liverpool have had an interesting week out, haven't they, Prakar?
Absolutely. Before we talk about their previous match against Tottenham, it is very important to talk what happened with Liverpool at Anfield last night. It was one of those nights at Anfield where Liverpool are back, Liverpool are trailing, and then they mount one of those miraculous comebacks. And they eventually notch a win. That is kind of a script generally that happens in one of those Anfield special, what the Liverpool fans called as the special Anfield nights. And that happened against Arsenal. So yeah, they started poorly and they mounted a comeback.
They did take the lead though. Inside the first 10 minutes, it was a Mustafi own goal which gave Liverpool the lead. Although Liverpool did have a scrappy first half where Arsenal finished 3-2, but the James Milner penalty towards the end of it just gave them a lifeline. And for listeners who do not know what happened, Arsenal went 1-0 down to a classic Scott and Mustafi own goal. But then they showed great character and took a 3-1 lead going into halftime. But just before halftime, they conceded a penalty and Milner stepped up to score. So it was 3-2 at halftime. The second half starts, Mesut Ozil having a great game, provides a beautiful assist for Ainsley Maitland-Niles. The game is 4-2 in Arsenal's favour, and then classic Arsenal just collapsing with two beautiful goals from Liverpool. Chamberlain and Origi getting on the score sheet. 4-4, things not looking good for Arsenal when Chris Willock scores an absolute screamer from a distance. The scoreline 5-1 going into the final minutes. And Origi equalizes in the 94th minute with just 1 minute left to play. The game goes to penalties and as we all know now, Liverpool nick it.
Yes.
It was a great display also. It was the youngsters of Liverpool, right, brother? There were just a couple of senior players in that squad.
Yes, exactly. So, like Origi, who doesn't start much for Liverpool, he was one of those senior players in that playing level last night. So Origi along with Milner were the only senior players.
Klopp, Chamberlain was also
And talking about Origi, coming to Liverpool's match, he has got some kind of a Midas touch. He's got a golden touch. He always scores equalizers. He always scores the winners for Liverpool. And now it is about time that he should start getting more starts in Liverpool's Premier League matches.
Whom do you replace though if you want to put in Origi?
Now that's the problem. You can't take out Firmino. What Firmino does is he drops deep. He links the place. From the midfield to the attack, and he does all the kind of the so-called dirty work in football. That shows that he's not on the score sheet that often. Origi, on his part, is doing his level best to push for his spot in the playing level for regular playing level in Liverpool's team, but not sure. But overall, Liverpool showed a great fight.
Yeah.
Even their youngsters showed they are quite inspired by their seniors.
Yeah, I think around five youngsters, and there was just Lallana and Naby Keita who were there among the senior players for Liverpool, along with whom we already mentioned.
And they are quite inspired by what the seniors are doing, what the likes of Mane and Salah and Van Dijk, these players are doing. So yeah, quite a promising week ahead for Liverpool.
Speaking about Mane, Salah and Van Dijk, the last outing was rather interesting, going down in the first minute to Tottenham and then coming back to win the game. Tell us about that, Prakash.
That Tottenham scored, and that Lovren tried to deviate the ball, it hit the goalpost, and then Harry Kane, being Harry Kane, was always at the right place at the right time, and then the ball landed just at his feet and he converted it to a goal. So yeah, but after the first goal, or I should say after first 20 minutes, Tottenham went all flat. They just disappeared.
Heung Min Song hit the crossbar, didn't he?
Yes, he missed a chance of going 2-0 up.
Yeah.
But after that, after 1-0, Liverpool showed that no, we are here, we are the table toppers. It's our league this time to lose. and they showed a real fight and they again fought back.
Yeah.
Now this has become a classic Liverpool story, like somehow conceding goals early and then fighting back. So, and they did 2 weeks back against United as well. So yeah, and this shows the fighting spirit, this shows the bonhomie within the players. And I see,
moreover, it's a championship quality, I would say.
Correct.
To dig out results even when you're not playing well
and somehow conceding and then mounting a fight back and getting the results in your favor. So yeah, a good strong team and headed by their talismanic manager.
Yeah, he's doing a great job here, we must say. Speaking about Liverpool's opponents, I think Aston Villa also are doing a great job under Dean Smith. Brilliant to watch. The previous league outing of theirs, they were managed to keep Manchester City 0-0 up till halftime at the Etihad. Of course, Sterling showed his class immediately in the second half. But I think it was a positive performance from Aston Villa. And they might prove to be a tough side to beat at home. But a full-strength Liverpool side, it's difficult to see how you stop them. So, yeah, it would be difficult to see anything out of the blue happening in that game. Although, I would like to just make a quick mention of two midfielders from Aston Villa, Jack Grealish, who I've already spoken about,
yes,
and Douglas Lewis is growing into the role now.
Okay.
So, these two will be players to watch out for in this game. What do you say, Prakar, predictions for this game?
Outright win for Liverpool, 2-0.
Okay, well, Aston Villa's best result has been a 2-0 victory at home to Everton this Premier League campaign. I would give them a chance of scoring one, but I think it's a 3-1 victory to Liverpool this time out.
Okay.
Well, moving on to the number 2 team in the league, who are just 6 points behind Liverpool now, Manchester City, who welcome Southampton. An easy outing, you think, Prakar, for City?
Kind of, yes. But before we get into what they have next, we should discuss what they how they played in their previous Premier League fixture. We discussed that Aston Villa would prove to, as you just told him, Aston Villa were quite a tricky opponent for City in the first half. But and we predicted that Aston Villa will put a tough fight for City in our previous podcast. But then City being City, they scored 3 and they thumped Villa. And the usual goal scorers were Gundogan, Silva and Sterling. Sterling is again back amongst the goals. So
I think the Gundogan goal was also beautiful to watch.
Yes.
The technique he showed, he hit the ball in the air. It was a beautiful strike.
Correct. So, yeah. But interesting part, as we talk about City, they faced Southampton over the weekend. But they had a similar fixture in the midweek in the League Cup. And they again won 3-1. But what's interesting to see is Pep Guardiola started with a full-strength squad, a near full-strength squad for City, and Aguero started. Like, you would expect Pep Guardiola to start Aguero in a Premier League match and give Gabriel Jesus the start in the League Cup. But Aguero started and he was in form and he scored 2 goals. Yes, and keeping in mind what Pep Guardiola is doing, rotating his players very frequently. And now that Aguero already has played some football this week, I assume it's time Gabriel Jesus will start as a striker, but the usual players, Kevin De Bruyne did not start and David Silva did not start. So I am assuming that David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne will be back amongst City's.
Guardiola did use a few youngsters with Phil Foden and Thomas Doyle in midfield, but yeah, it'll be interesting to watch what he does this time. Speaking about Southampton, it hasn't been a great week for them. They were dropped 9-0 against Leicester City in their last Premier League outing, and what's worse is after that game they've had a doubleheader against Manchester City. They did come away with a 3-1 defeat, as you just mentioned, in the League Cup. But now they'll have a full-strength City side they'll have to contend with. Ralf Hasenhüttl had some interesting tactics for the League Cup game. His team didn't have a single shot on target or a touch in the opposition penalty box in the first half. So he's just trying to stay in the game as much as possible and attack in the second half. So I can predict an exciting second half for this game. But I do not see Southampton doing anything out of the extraordinary other than hanging on for life against the champions. What are your predictions for this game, Prakar?
Now, two things will clearly highlight how dominant City are. Firstly, City have won 22 of their last 25 home games at Etihad in Premier League. And secondly, they have won 6 matches against Southampton across competitions. So that shows how dominant City are and how favorite City are. So as So I predict a 4-0 victory for City in this match. What about you?
I think it might be a 4-1 victory for City. Southampton didn't manage to get one goal in the League Cup, so I'm expecting them to get
another. Yeah, and considering the problems that City has have in their back line, so yeah, they might concede, but then their attacking midfielders and forwards will push for goals.
Another thing worth mentioning is Fabri. Also, interestingly, Fernandinho picked up a red card in the previous game. Will he be available for this fixture?
Yes, he should be, because he sat out against for the one-match ban that he had to serve. Hmm. And so that he served against Southampton in the League Cup. So he should be ready for the City's game against Southampton in Premier League over the weekend.
Well, moving on to the Emirates, Arsenal welcome Wolves at home.
Hmm. So talking about Wolves, they are kind of the team is kind of on a seesaw, right?
Hmm.
They have over the midweek they lost 2-1 against Aston Villa, and they had a 1-1 draw against Newcastle in the weekend.
Hmm.
So they have had two tough games, Wolves. But keeping in mind that they defeated Manchester City at Etihad, and they have won 2 of the 3 Europa League fixtures, so that shows they have form as well. So they can defeat the likes of Manchester City at Etihad and keep a good form going in the Europa League. But at the same time, they have not their form has dipped recently. So they are kind of on a seesaw, right? So not sure which Wolves side will turn up over the weekend. And they have injury issues as well. Willy Bolly is set to be on the sidelines for the remaining of 2019. But they will be boosted by the return of Diogo Jota and Raul Jimenez, who both did not start in the League Cup.
Hmm.
So it's kind of difficult to predict what Wolves will throw over the weekend against Arsenal. But talking about Arsenal, a lot of things are happening at Emirates, and the weekend was very interesting at Emirates.
Well,
what happened there?
It's been a turbulent weekend, to say the least, at the Emirates. Arsenal were leading 2-0 against Crystal Palace in the first 10 minutes. 2 goals in 2 minutes from both the central defenders. But things just started falling apart after that. They conceded a penalty in the 32nd minute. And later, before you know it, in the second half, it was 2-2. Then Emery decided to substitute his captain, Granit Xhaka, and all hell broke loose.
Yes.
Xhaka was a little slow in getting off the pitch. The fans started booing him, and that just got to Xhaka, who jeered, who sort of made signs to the fans asking them to jeer louder.
Yes.
He mouthed some expletives and threw his captain's band basically towards
Aubameyang. And removed the jersey.
That was one
of the rare sights in football.
Yeah, that was rather telling. He just took off his jersey the moment he got off the pitch and walked down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Xhaka also did another interesting thing on social media.
What?
His profile picture used to be himself captaining Arsenal, which has changed to himself captaining Switzerland now.
Oh.
So things are not looking good for the Gunners.
Okay.
There were 3 senior players who went on to check on Xhaka later in the night. So it shows that he has the support in the back room, but Xhaka hasn't come out with an apology yet. Aubameyang was also subject to certain abuse.
Mm.
You wouldn't expect that with him being so popular in the club.
Okay.
But I think all of these have just overshadowed certain other events in the game, where Arsenal did take a 3-2 lead, but it was ridiculously cancelled by a VAR decision, which still isn't too clear as to what was wrong in that whole thing.
Sure.
VAR seemed to be ultra-aggressive over the weekend. And then there was the 5-5 result against Liverpool in midweek, which once again showed that underbelly of Arsenal, that complete inability to defend leads. At 5-4 with just 20 minutes to go, they should have seen out the game, but they didn't. So once again, that has popped up. But it's a great opportunity for Unai Emery. Arsenal has struggled in the past against Wolves, and if he ever wanted to make a statement, this would be it. And let's not forget, Ozil was back in the squad over the weekend, and Emery said he might just feature again.
Okay.
So to watch up Mesut Ozil linking up with the likes of Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe, the fireworks just could return to Emirates. And before we know it, it could be happy times once again.
Sure.
Well, predictions for this game, Prapal?
I see a 1-1 draw in the match. What about you?
Well, I am a little optimistic this time around. I think Arsenal showed some character, and I think a 4-1 victory could be on
4-1.
The cards.
That's
interesting.
That's really interesting.
With a Mesut Ozil providing service to Aubameyang and Nicolas Pepe on the wings, it could be really exciting this game.
So one of the matches over the weekend to watch on.
Well, moving on, Bournemouth welcome a resurgent Manchester United. Manchester United are hitting top form once again, shouldn't we say, brother?
Yes, in the midweek, they were very dominant against, I saw that match, they were dominant against Chelsea in a 2-1 win, and their player, the young player in form of Marcus Rashford, is now hitting form.
Speaking about hitting, tell us about that free kick he scored against Chelsea.
That was brilliant. That was, the ball was some 30 yards away, and he's one of those not who doesn't take free kicks quite regularly, but he took the chance and he just buried the ball in the net, and it was one of those screamer goals that you can
see. It was reminiscent of what Cristiano Ronaldo used to do,
yes,
right, in a Manchester United.
It was a brilliant goal from Marcus Rashford, and he is scoring goals. And last weekend also he scored goals, and a week before that against Liverpool he scored goals, against Norwich he had scored brace. So he's back amongst goals, and he would be hungrier to prove himself that now I'm fit, I'm amongst the goals, so let me make the best use of my form and let me score more goals and prove my worth, actually, that I'm here to stay.
Do you think Martial's return to form has something to do with how Rashford has been playing?
I can say so. Rashford is Martial is again one of those very attacking mindset. He has a very attacking mindset, and that helps. That kind of helps Rashford, because if there are two attacking players going outright for two goals to score goals, so both the players kind of feel comfort that if I miss, that there's someone else to. Someone else who can convert. So yes, Anthony Martial's return is kind of helping Marcus Rashford.
One quick question, brother.
Sure.
Where is Paul Pogba these days? We haven't been hearing much about him.
Absolutely. For last I checked, he is still injured, and he has still not started practicing with the team.
Okay.
So it might still be time before another 2 weeks or 3 weeks before we see the return of Paul Pogba in the playing 11 for Manchester United. But yes, United are back in group. Solskjaer has done some magic with United's team, and they are looking hungry and going for the wins.
Well, we'll quickly touch upon their opponents, Bournemouth.
Sure.
Their last three results have been a 1-0 defeat to Arsenal, followed by 0-0 draws against, you could say, the bottom two clubs in the Premier League right now, Norwich and Watford respectively. There was this stat doing the rounds on Twitter. Bournemouth's defense have gone 261 minutes without conceding a league goal, which is their longest run since October 2018. And Bournemouth's attack have gone 314 minutes without scoring a league goal, which is their longest run since December 2017. So, mixed outings for Bournemouth. They haven't been able to score, but they have been resolute in defense. So, I expect United might struggle to break this defense down a little bit, especially being away from home. But I do not see Bournemouth coming away with much in this game.
Yes.
What's your prediction for this game?
I see United winning, and there's a reason for I'm saying that United will win. The scores could be 1-2, and the reason is United. This is the fourth of their away fixtures.
Yes.
They have four away fixtures on the trot, and on previous three away fixtures, they have won. They won against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So, their away form is good. So, they are playing away over the weekend again.
Yeah.
So, I see them winning 2-1.
Just to put that into perspective to our listeners, before these three wins, United had gone 7 months without winning an away game, be it in the league or in any cup competition. So, it was 7 months without an away victory, and now it's three away wins on the trot. So
and
now it could very well be four.
Yeah.
And I think it might just be a 3-0 victory for United, at the way they are banging the goals in. Well, moving on, Chelsea travel to Watford, who are yet to pick up a victory in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Now Frank Lampard has been impressing in his role as a manager. They won 4-2 against Burnley in their last outing, but they did have a 2-1 defeat to Manchester United, but that was in the League Cup. Let me quickly talk about the 4-2 victory, because there was something interesting that happened in that game. Christian Pulisic, who after a long time was making his return to the league, scored what we call a perfect hat-trick.
Yes.
Right foot, left foot and a header. And Willian also got on the score sheet. But let's not also forget, Chelsea at 4-0 up just allowed Burnley a foothold in the game, and it ended 4-2. So that does show a little lapse in concentration when it comes to defense. But overall, I think Lampard has got the team moving really well, and the depth in their attack. If it's not Tammy Abraham, it's Mickey Batshuayi who scores, as we saw over the weekend. And Olivier Giroud, a World Cup winner, is on the bench yet.
Yes.
He can't get a shoe in. So this Chelsea squad is really promising at the moment. What do we have to say about Watford though, Prabhu?
Well, nothing much can be said. They are really struggling. Problems continue. And most of the problem for Watford, from what I understand, is because of the injuries that their players are carrying. And in the midweek, they lost against a struggling Everton in the League Cup, 2-0. So that shows the kind of problem they have. And their last win in any competition came against Swansea back in September. So we can see they are finding it difficult to get wins. But the only glimmer of hope for Watford as of now is that their last three Premier League matches have been draws. So at least, if not losses, they have been able to put in draws on the table. So yeah, they are struggling and they are but kind of improving. But I don't see much against the Chelsea side, which is looking now very promising in the top four. So I don't see much for Watford. No much hope in this match.
Quick predictions for this game?
2-1.
I think it's a 2-0 victory to Chelsea.
Yes.
Also, moving on, Everton welcome Tottenham at home. What's happening with Tottenham, Prakar, right now?
Yes, they start, as we discussed earlier in the pod, they started well against Liverpool. They were hungry, but then they went flat. They went absolutely flat. And just like their arch rivals, Arsenal, they start well. They start as if this is the match. Yes, they finally will be back in form. And then they show good fight in first 15-20 minutes and then they go all flat. And moreover, they are relying too much on Harry Kane, from what I understand. And Harry Kane is hit and miss as of now. If he will get a goal scoring opportunity, he will convert. But they are too dependent and somehow they are missing a leader in the pack. They are missing a leader. Their captain is now out injured. Hugo Lloris for a long time now. Not sure. The players are not gelling well. So there will be problems for Tottenham over the weekend. I don't see much. But this is another match to watch out for, because these are two struggling sides.
Yeah.
Tottenham and Everton. So both managers will be out there to prove their points. Our players will be out there to prove themselves. So very interesting match. What about Everton?
Well, Everton in the league, they lost 3-2 to Brighton, but there was a shadow of a VAR controversy. Michael Keane stepping on the forward's foot, which was given as a penalty. But 3-2 defeat to Brighton does not look good for Marco Silva. And as you just mentioned, he has been under a lot of pressure. There was a victory in the League Cup over Watford, but I do not think that goes a long way considering the amount Everton have spent. So yes, a lot of pressure on the manager. And last season they lost this fixture 6-2. And also, let's not forget, Everton haven't beaten Tottenham since December 2002. So I do
is a long time.
Yes, so I do not see Marco Silva really coming away with anything here. And I've said it before, I just have a feeling Marco Silva might just be one of the first managers now after Watford to get the sack. So we'll have to wait and watch what's happening there. Predictions for this game?
1-1. Both managers will be happy with the point and play safe. Even players will feel comfortable with a point and not a zero against their points tally from this match. So I predict a 1-1.
I've put down the same, a 1-1 victory. I do not see anything much happening here.
Yes.
And they would be thrilled to come away with one point at this
Both
point.
Teams, the kind of form the both teams are in, 1-1 is the best result for both the teams.
Well, moving on to the last bit of our podcast, you have FPL picks for the weekend, Prakar. What do you have to say?
I will quickly go for Rashford. As I just discussed, he is back amongst goals. United is now gaining momentum, gaining form. And with the return of Anthony Martial, Rashford is feeling secured in the team. So I will go for Rashford. And also, I will go with your pick, which you said on the last episode of this podcast, Jamie Vardy. He scored a hat-trick. So my picks for the forwards will be Rashford and Jamie Vardy, along with my regular favorites, Van Dijk in the defense, Sadio Mane as one of the midfielders. So yes, these will be my favorite picks, favorite fantasy pick players. What about yours?
Well, I would stick with Vardy. I think we haven't mentioned Leicester City, but they have been exceptional so far in the season. And this team really looks promising under Brendan Rodgers, a team really to look out for. I think they could just make that top four spot theirs very soon.
Correct.
So I would stick with Vardy. I would go with Willian this time in midfield, because Christian Pulisic's return to form speaks well for Willian, who is not only a goal scorer but also a provider.
Yes.
So there's a player who could come up with the goods. I would stick with Kevin De Bruyne because they are playing Southampton, who are punished by Leicester, and De Bruyne isn't in any mood to show mercy to any team.
Yes.
And as a last pick, I would like to add Mahrez. He's been looking in good form and he seems hungry to do something. There was a lovely pass from him over the weekend, and he's just showing that spark which he showed when he was at Leicester. So those would be my picks for this weekend.
Interesting week ahead. Interesting weekend ahead, rather. Interesting weekend ahead for Premier League fans.
Word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer, which is available on Android and web, ends on November 7th.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of On The Ball. Thanks, Prakar, for all your inputs in this segment.
It was great being here.
Well, for our listeners out there, if you have any queries or questions to us, just email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.